You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program this morning. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day and got to celebrate the ladies in your life. My wife and I are going to be having a fantastic week this week, and we want to make sure that we get the Word of God out there to you today so that you can have something to ponder on, something to think, something to apply into your life. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have been providing professional sales and services and repairs for air conditioning and heating issues all over Brevard County for over 50 years. They work in residential and light commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and an affordable price. They can work on package units. They can work on traditional condensing units and air handlers. They can work on mini split systems. They are very, very skilled in what they do. They're very good at what they do. And if you are looking for someone to maintain your air conditioning system during the summer months, I think that the folks at Weirich Air may be a great resource for you. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida, and he has a heart for God. He has a heart to bless people, and he has done a wonderful job taking care of our systems at the church as well as at my house. And if you're looking for someone that you can trust in that area, Weirich Air, 321-632-9538, license number CAC 182-1309. So today we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are supposed to be people who love. And you find an interesting little nugget in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, where it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Sorry, I have a little bit of a tickle in my throat here this morning. So, when you look at this, it seems, you know, pretty cut and dry, pretty simple. And the primary point is we are going to have something to which we are servant. There's going to be some sort of authority structure in our life. You are not the pinnacle of authority in your life. I'm not the pinnacle of authority in my life. You know, the old saying was that, you know, the man is the king of his own castle, and that's just not the reality. The reality is every one of us are going to serve somebody. Bob Dylan, back in the 80s, I think it was, he had a stretch where he was singing some religious music. And one of the songs that he sang said, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And the choices that are presented here is that you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon. And I've heard that translated money, and I've also heard it translated the spirit of money, the spirit behind the money. And so you can have people who have a tremendous amount of financial resource, but for them, money is a tool. It's not what they trust. And so I've heard people like Dave Ramsey and said, look, God has given this to us to steward. And if you are on board with stewarding God's resources, hey, we welcome you aboard. If you are not, then please understand these are not our funds. These are God's funds. We're just stewarding. We're just taking care of it. And so for them, money is not the in what they trust. They've just been faithful to use those resources. And I'm sure that their lifestyle's not hurting, but for them, their trust is in God. So it's interesting that it says that idolatry, greed is idolatry in the New Testament. And so money is one of those things that is, if it's not godly resources, that it is tied up with a demonic spiritual activity. And so you're going to serve one of those two things. And because we are such visual people, you can see money and you can see the influence of money, but you cannot necessarily see the traps of that. There are people who thought they wanted to be famous, and then once they became famous, they had to spend a lot of financial resources for security and things like that to try and keep that which they have in which they were trusting. God is someone we cannot see, but we can experience his presence, we can experience his influence, and we can experience his leadership and his lordship. So there are those two things that Jesus describes here. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve money, but you cannot serve both. I've always found it odd whenever pastors would make decisions where they would go to a different church simply because of money. Every ministry position that I ever served in, I believe, came with a financial pay cut. At least initially, when we came and when we were, before we came to Merit Assembly of God, I think I was making $50 a week, and when I came to Merit Assembly of God, that went away. So there, if you get into ministry for the money, you're going to find very quickly that that there are other ways to make money that you can get rich quicker doing those other things. Now, are there some ministers who have done quite well for themselves financially? Absolutely, they are. Normally, they write books. They're on speaking tours. They're preaching. They're doing a lot of different things. And many times, those people are so effective financially outside of their pastoring. A lot of times those people don't even take a salary. I know of one particular person who wrote a book and became a bestseller, and he literally paid back his church every dollar that he had ever made in salary for that church, because he wasn't serving money. And you know, if you and I are faithful in the handling of another person's wealth, which it would be God's wealth, then we will be considered faithful over many more things. I want to say one more thing about this dichotomy here, and that is this. People are either in a relationship with God on a spiritual level. If not, many times they tend to fall in a sexually immoral manner. So you have to be on your guard. There are some things there that there is light and dark, there is good, there is evil, there is God, there is money. And many times if we get our relationship with God out of whack, and we're not loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, you have to really surround yourself with godly people who will help to protect you, because if not, I've seen way too many casualties in the kingdom of God because of either immorality or because of substance abuse. And so let's get this right. I mean, it's only one verse, but can we just say, you know, this is so important, we need to get this right. So what it says here is love is a response to lordship. He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. So love is an action, it's an emotion, it's a lifestyle which draws you close to one thing. And if you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, and so you will be drawn towards that if that is what your love is. I heard about someone who was extremely wealthy, and they said, you know, how much money do you need to make in order to be rich? And they said at least $1 more. And they were extremely well off. So, you know, there's no security there. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, you've got to make sure that you store up your treasure where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break through and steal. Because money doesn't have any eternal value. Gold, you know, is considered one of the most valuable things here on earth. It's what God paves his streets with. Solomon, it said that Israel was so wealthy during his day that silver was considered of little value because it was just in abundance. Scarcity of something creates a greater value. So this love is, it says you are going to love that which is Lord over you. And anything that the devil has to offer is a dictatorial relationship where everything that God offers to us is a covenant relationship, a benevolent covenant relationship. And he says, we're in this together. And many times people fail to appreciate how much God loves them until they experience how much the devil hates them. So if we are going to say, hey, Jesus is my Lord, there should be an emotional, there should be an intentional, active response that says, God is the highest priority in my life. So, and it's because he is Lord. a lot of people like to focus on the Savior aspect, but they miss out on the Lordship aspect. And I can tell you that when He leads, when He leads me beside still waters, or when He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, wherever He leads me is going to work out extremely well for me. So if He's Lord, there's going to be a very healthy aspect of love. And in doing that, it will also cause a hate relationship for that which is not Lord over you. And what that word hate means is it puts distance between you and the thing that you have an aversion for. And so there are things that if I were to encounter them, I accidentally encountered a rattlesnake one time, didn't know it, never seen one like it before, and all of a sudden, when I saw what it was, I wanted to put distance between myself and that snake, to where I was safe, because I knew that thing didn't like me, and I didn't like it either. So there's a couple of other things here that are talked about when it comes to lordship. One of them is that you are going to love or you're going to hate, and the other, it says, is that which is Lord over your life, which has mastery over your life, that you are going to be loyal to that one, or you're going to despise. You're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. Faithfulness and loyalty are rare commodities in 2026. You look at the sports landscape with the college athletes, and all of a sudden things that athletes were getting in trouble for years ago, in that, you know, they were getting paid and things like that, and then schools were going on probation. Southern Methodist University ended up getting the death penalty in football and had to revive their program. Now, athletes are, you know, can make a lot of money. And I'm sure that there are other fields as well where they can do okay. I can tell you, I didn't make that kind of money when I was in school. I was closer to the minimum wage aspect of life. But I've got Pastor Harley, my son-in-law. He's extremely knowledgeable about sports. He follows college sports and pro sports and all of that sort of stuff. And he was talking about, you know, high school recruiting days, that, you know, that used to be a big deal, because when you committed to a school, you pretty much committed to that school for the entire length of time that you were there. And now you may only be there 1 year, and then you open up the recruiting thing all over again. I think there's some attempts to rein that back in a little bit, but there's no loyalty there to the programs a lot of times. And quite honestly, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, they sometimes, coaches promise the world and deliver a seashell. But and the same thing with NFL, you know, where they have guaranteed contracts, unless they decide that they don't want to guarantee it. So there's not any loyalty there. Well, you know where there should be loyalty? There should be loyalty between Jesus and the people that He died to save. There should be loyalty between husbands and wives. There should be loyalty to the Word of God and loyalty to God's mission that He has for us. There should be loyalty there. And in doing that, if there is any other influence trying to break that loyalty or break that faithfulness, we ought to be looking at that and despising that. I'm okay hurting some people's feelings if it what I'm being set up to do, it would compromise my loyalty to God or my loyalty to my responsibilities, loyalty to my family, loyalty to my obligations. I got no problem. I will not be ugly about it, but I'm not going to capitulate to something that's trying to destroy when I should be loyal to that which is going to edify. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you are loyal to him, then there's this third response to this lordship dynamic, and that is you cannot serve God and mammon. And the concept of service and worship are very closely tied together. Worship is not just the songs that we sing when we come together. Worship is not just when we raise our hands in a time of prayer and we exalt and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Are those aspects of it? Yes. But service also, or worship also shows up in the fact that we serve the one who has lordship over our life. When God says he knows he has the plans, he has plans for us to give us hope in a future, we need to be serving him because those are going to be good plans. I have an experience from my past where a person said, hey, I need to get you ready for you know, other types of ministry. And that never came. I'm perfectly okay with that. But I can tell you where man may not always follow through on the things that they say, God also always does. And, you know, I'm pretty well down the track on my lifespan. I hit a milestone here in a few days, which now let's just put it this way. It will change some of my health insurance providers. Excuse me. Yeah, it chokes me up too. I don't know how I got to be this age so quickly. Overachiever, I guess. But as I have come down this journey, I don't regret the things that I've ever done for God. Very, very rarely does that thought ever even cross my mind. The things that I feel remorse for are the opportunities to serve, the opportunities to share, the opportunities to love, the opportunities to be a blessing to someone that I missed. And oftentimes it wasn't intentional. It wasn't missing it intentionally. It was just a failure to recognize at that particular point in time. It's kind of like if you're walking I'm going to throw out here the post office on Merritt Island. If you walk into the post office, I've generally got my mind on getting to the door and either dropping something off into the mail or picking a package up, whatever it might be. And that's that's what I'm focused on. And many times as I open the door, I may not be aware that there's a person just a little bit behind me. And if I fail to open or to hold open the door for them or to stop and let them through, that bothers me. I don't want to be oblivious to the things that are going on in people's lives around me. But, whenever God has shared something with me and said, hey, you need to give this person this. Generally, I don't have any regrets for the things that he's asked me to serve. So I've been at Merit Assembly of God as the pastor for 33 and a half years. I don't regret it. Prior to me coming to the church, if you looked at the pastoral history, you would see a whole lot of pastors that came, and some of them didn't last very long at all. Some of them went on and they had other ministries. Some of them came and planted the church and then they moved on to other situations. Sometimes it may not have been a great fit between pastor and church. I don't know all of the stories behind it, but I do know that we live in a world that celebrates big and doesn't necessarily appreciate the small. So when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, we'd been in multiple staff positions. We'd just said yes whenever God opened a door. And each one of those, we thought, this is where we're going to be for the rest of our life. And then we got moved. And so by the time we got to Merit Assembly of God, we were saying, we're probably not going to be here forever. We just want to make sure we leave this position, this church, in a better place than it is when we found it. And that was 33 years ago. And we're still serving, still loving, still loyal to the one who called us, because this is not about the fame of men. It is about serving and bringing glory to the one who died on the cross to save us. So let me recap real briefly here this morning. You're going to serve somebody. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve some other mammon, idolatry, anything like that. And you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. You're going to serve one and ignore the other. Make sure you choose God. Make sure you love him, you're loyal to him, and you serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.